You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
What is up, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to another episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show, proudly part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I am Aaron the Brain, and with me today, filling in for my brother from the exact same mother, Josh. Filling in for Josh is at Dolphins Talk himself. It's Mike Oliva. How's it going, Mike?
I am doing fantastic. Thinking about Josh and his family here tonight. I know they're having a little family medical emergency there. Thinking about his little guy. Hope everything's well. And happy to fill in and have a little holiday show here with you as we get ready for an awesome game on Christmas Eve.
Absolutely. And I share your thoughts, my thoughts with Josh and his family and my nephew. Get well soon, buddy. Get well soon and hopefully have yourself a merry little Christmas over there. And hopefully the Dolphins will be having themselves a merry little Christmas, a much more merry Christmas than last year, hopefully, yes. As we get set for a big test against the Dallas Cowboys, a pair of 10-4 teams as the Dolphins look to get a step closer towards accomplishing their goals this season. And I definitely want to get into that game, but I guess where I really want to start before we get into the brass tacks of things is I want to talk about Hard Knocks because that was released this Tuesday, of course, after the Dolphins' resounding victory against the Jets. I got around to watching it last night, Wednesday night, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, Mike. My thought on it, my biggest takeaway was the speech at the beginning of the game, or at the beginning of the show from Mike McDaniel, addressing the team at the start of the week and saying, we're going to take 20 minutes to look at this game, and I don't want to do this, but I'm going to have to do it. And taking accountability, saying we lost this. There's 15 reasons why we lost this game, and I had my hand in all of them. And he took ownership of him, of his own play calling, and said it was as much a team loss as he's ever been around. And it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to them because they are going to make it that by what they do from this point forward. So I thought, in my opinion, I don't know how much weight these things end up being. I don't want to make too much of it because at the end of the day, the game is played on the field and it's going to be decided on the field. But I think there are so many things that as a coach that you can control. And one of them is the messaging that your team gets and the mindset that your team goes in with. And I thought that's the mindset that you want. The messaging is correct. You blew a massive opportunity in that game. You should feel embarrassed about it, and you should own it. And I thought Mike McDaniel owning it and not sweeping it under the rug and not saying, hey, you know, don't worry about that. That happened, but we're going to move forward from that without even addressing it. I think that would have been a mistake. The fact that he addressed it head on, I think, is a really good sign. It's the way that I would have handled it, and I like to see it. And obviously, we have the benefit of hindsight and looking back and saying, well, the team certainly looked like they responded to it as well with the way that they played against the Jets. But I'm curious, Mike, what did you think of Hard Knocks in general and that speech, or if you had any other bigger takeaways?
Yeah. When it was announced that Miami was going to be on Hard Knocks, I was all for it. And I don't know why any fan would be against. Any fan who thought this would be a distraction, I thought, No, and who wouldn't want to sneak behind the curtain of your favorite team in the middle of a season? I thought this is going to be really cool. The first couple episodes, like episode one was like the Tyreek Hill show. It was cool. It was great. It was funny. The second show was cool. Last couple weeks have been kind of blah. It's like two of them at the groundskeepers. Captivating television. Who gives a you know what? You know, who cares? But this week, coming off a loss, I really enjoyed it. And that Mike McDaniel speech to me, and anyone who thinks he's playing this up for the cameras, no, you haven't been paying attention. Mike McDaniel, one word about him is authentic. He ain't playing this up for cameras, number one. And I'm sure now at this point with him being around the team for a few weeks, he's probably forgot the cameras are even there, honestly. That's who he is, and I loved it. And there's things to nitpick about Mike McDaniel, play calling in the red zone, running on third and fourth and one, maybe too aggressive at times. You can nitpick anything with any coach. No, there's no such thing as a perfect coach, okay? But the messaging, like you said, his approach, how he talks to players, not talking at players, he's very relatable. And what I saw from him there, I said this on a show last night with Ian, and I stand by it now. I don't know if we're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know if we're going to go to the Super Bowl. It seems, if I had to guess right now, it seems kind of unlikely, but we're in the hunt at least. In the next 3 to 5 years, Mike McDaniel will be on the sideline as a head coach of a team playing in the Super Bowl game. Do they win it? I don't know. It's one game. Anything can happen. But what I've seen from him now for almost two full regular seasons, what I took away from the Hard Knock speech is this guy gets it. And he admits, I make mistakes. I got to get better, which a lot of coaches won't do. Our last head coach wasn't that way. And I don't need Hard Knocks to tell me that. You can just see how he acted with the media, how he acted on the sidelines. He wasn't anyone who took ownership. Adam Gase never took ownership of anything. You know, every time they lost, he was looking for someone to throw under the bus. This guy will fall on the sword, which most good head coaches do, just from a PR standpoint. But now we saw behind the scenes, no, he's really falling on the sword when he screws up. Yeah, there were 15 reasons why we lost. Bradley Chubb, you were a dope. That wasn't shown, but I'm sure that was out there. Spike, you can't be doing that. Missed field goal or a blocked field goal. Turnovers, the whole thing, play calling, which is on him. He took ownership, how he spoke to the team. And after a tough loss late in the year for a team that's, let's be honest, a really good team. No matter what you think of the Dolphins, they look probably one of the six best teams in the whole NFL. From a record standpoint and from a talent standpoint, I have the utmost faith in this guy in the next 3 to 5 years. There's going to be a Super Bowl Sunday where all of us are going to be happy as hell, but we're going to be in like, we got a chance to win the Super Bowl. I don't know what year it's going to be, but it's going to be one of those years. And if we do win, we're popping this bad boy open now, Aaron. It's going to stay sealed. We're popping it open. But I have a feeling he's going to get us there at some point. And that's what I took away from that Hard Knocks.
Are you drinking that rum? And if you're listening to this and you're not watching it on YouTube or the I'm a Miami Dolphins fan Facebook page, which you should be doing, by the way. But if you're not, Mike held up a bottle of Florida Cana rum, the official rum of the Miami Dolphins. And I just have one question. Are you drinking that rum straight, or are you you making yourself a mixed drink, a cocktail?
Well, here's the deal. I'm not a big rum guy per se, but if we win the Super Bowl, I'll drink anything straight that night. I'll tell you right now, I will drink. If we win the Super Bowl, it's going to be champagne and rum in my house going. I'll tell you that right now. But yes, a very longtime listener of our podcast, who's not on social media, by the way, which I find amazing because he sent me a nice card with a little note inside. And thanking me for all, you know, the shows and all the stuff. But he's not social media, which is like, you're the one. But he listens to all of our shows. Huge fan. And he sent me this rum. And the only rule is I can't open until we win the Super Bowl. He was in Central America. And he went to a liquor store. There's like four of these left or so. He bought them all. He kept one. Gave the rest to his sons. And one came to me. And when we win, it might be in a year. It might be this year. It might be 2 years. It might be 3 years. It might be 10 years. I don't know. We're all going to come together and pop this bad boy.
All right. I love it. I will be there if it happens, but I'm not going to jinx it.
Well, I don't know when.
I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm not going to say that's going to happen this year or in the next 5 years or even in the next 20 years. But
I think we'll be in the game, though. I will go out on a limb. I think this guy's going to get us there. If you win the game, that's, you know, it's one game. Anything can happen. Who knows? But I think he'll at least get us to the dance in the next 3 to 5 years, because I just have that belief in me. not just because of him, because of the young roster we have. I know it's going to change after this year. Some guys are going to go. I get it. But I just have faith. Sometimes you just have faith in that guy's a leader. That guy's doing the right thing. He might not be a finished product. He might not be a polished product, but he's going to be that soon, and he's going to get us there. I think he's like a Sean McVay, like a Kyle Shanahan. They both got in there. Sean McVay's won it. I think he's going to get there, and if we win, great, but I just have that belief.
Yeah, and we'll see if we can get there, and if he does get there, hopefully he can do what neither Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan were able to do, and that is win it the first time you get there.
Yes.
I want to get into this game because it is a big one as we come down the stretch. I want to talk about what it means, and then I want to break down kind of, you know, what we think the Dolphins need to do and what we need to look for in this game, and then we'll give our one hot takes and our score predictions. But before we do any of that, I want to talk about our friends at Caldera Lab, because they make the best skincare products that I have personally ever used. And I've used a lot of them because I do not have perfect skin. Heck, if you are watching on YouTube or on the live stream, you're probably like, yeah, he definitely doesn't have perfect skin, but it doesn't look that bad. And the reason it doesn't look that bad is because I use Caldera Lab. It's a really quick regimen, you know, once or twice a day with the face wash. You put the moisturizer, the serum, you know, to keep your face moisturized and everything looking good. And honestly, the wife says that my skin looks as good as it's ever or better than ever. And, you know, at the end of the day, as a guy, isn't that really all that matters?
All that matters.
So take my word for it. Great products at Caldera Lab. You can find out for yourself by going to calderalab.com, and you can use the promo code DolphinsTalk and get 20% off of your first order of Caldera Lab. And you know what? If they ask, I don't think they'll ask, but if they do, tell them Aaron the Brain sent you.
There you go. That's right.
So I want to talk about this game. I'm very excited, but I'm not. What a difference a week makes.
Let's
start with that. Because a week ago, Josh and I sat on this show, and we were going to play the Jets, a home game against a team that came into the game at, 5-8?
Yep.
And the majority of the people in the comments section, and it felt like on social media and on the national media, had no faith in this team. Tua was garbage. He couldn't win without Tyreek Hill. Mike McDaniel can't coach without Tyreek Hill. The Dolphins are frauds. They are choke artists. They will not win another game this season. And now, a week later, a 30-0 victory later, the Cowboys looking really bad last week against the Buffalo Bills, and all of a sudden, the Dolphins fan base it's cocky Dolphin again. And
we're back.
They're back, and I'm not like, I want to be cocky Dolphins fan, but
look, I'm not there
at the end of the day, I'm not going to go from not being cocky Dolphins fan to being cocky Dolphins fan because you beat the New York Jets. So at the end of the day, I know that was a really good performance, and a 30-0 win is a 30-0 win. And it was a great performance from this team, especially with all of the negativity that was surrounding them all week and all of the injuries. For them to put that kind of performance up was a statement, but it was still against the Jets. And you can't have it without that. You can't have, you can't take, you know, I feel really good about that win and give them all of this praise and laud them so hard, and then just leave out the fact that it was against the New York Jets. You gotta contextualize it. But now it doesn't matter, because now every single game the rest of the way is going to be against a very good football team, whether it's in the regular season or whether it's in the postseason. And this week it starts with the 10-4 Dallas Cowboys. And as we enter this stretch, you're home against Dallas, you're at Baltimore, and then you finish the season at home against Buffalo. In my eyes, look, everybody wants them to win out. If you win out, you control your own destiny, you're the number one seed. Obviously, that would be awesome. But you really want to win at least two out of these three, realistically. And if you're going to win two out of these three, the least important game of the three happens to be this one against Dallas, because it is a non-conference game, and Baltimore is a team that you're chasing for playoff seeding, and Buffalo is a team that you're ultimately battling with to win the AFC East. But at the same time, this is probably the most winnable game, if we're being honest, of the three. And because of that, and because of the way Dallas looked last week, if you do lose this game, the same way what a difference a week makes, and we were down in the dumps last week and over the moon this week, you're going to have those same Dolphin fans coming back and saying, you know what? We were fooled. They just beat the Jets. They're still frauds. They can't beat a good team. And so to me, it's not a must-win game because, like I said, it is the least important of the three. But for psyche, I think it might be the most important game.
Yeah. They can't go 0-3. Here's the deal. The one thing they can't do is go 0-3 for more reasons than just obviously making the playoff win the division. That means something's clearly wrong. That's like a bigger picture wrong. If they end the season 0-3 after a late season collapse last year, that wouldn't be good to have another one this year. Then you kind of everything I just said about Mike McDaniel kind of goes out the window. Anyway, we have to do a deep dive here. That's a whole different conversation. But 2-1 is realistic. This is the easiest of the three games because at the Ravens or on the road, that's going to be a tough spot. And just because how well the Bills have sort of turned their season around, how they're now an ascending team, probably playing some of the best football in the entire NFL. And we know what that game may mean if Miami doesn't clinch beforehand. That's going to be for the AFC East, meaning you're either are going to have a home playoff game or you're not. And then if you're not, you're going to be round one either at Baltimore, at Kansas City, at Buffalo possibly, which nobody wants that. So this is a game to win. You know, these two teams as much, you know, people have joked it's the fraud bowl, which I hate that fraud word. You don't win 10 games in the NFL and you're a fraud. The Dolphins, you know, pretty much beat who they're supposed to beat outside of one game. They've handled their business. They're a good team. They're not a fraud. And neither are the Cowboys either. They're not frauds either. But they're two teams that are very similar in that, you know, the Cowboys did get a signature win a couple weeks ago versus the Eagles. Miami's still waiting for that signature win, but there's not a lot of signature wins on each of their schedules. They both have their flaws. They're both coming in with offensive lines a little banged up. It sounds like, you know, Robert Hunt's still going to miss another game with a hamstring. It sounds like Austin Jackson might not actually play, which means the right side of the offensive line is going to be a little shaky, and expect Parsons to probably be on that side of the field all day. And then you got the Cowboys, Zach Martin, unsure, and their left tackle there, Smith, I believe, also has an issue with his back. So both these teams have their offensive line struggles. Neither team's, you know, 100%. And it comes down to which team's going to execute and make more plays. But for the Dolphins, winning this game is just – it means more. They need it more. The Dolphins need it more only because at the end of the season, their schedule's harder. This is the easiest of the three. And they have to like, sort of kill that narrative. And I know it's just one game, one win. Some people are still going to go, they're still frauds. There's only the Cowboys. You're going to get some of that. But beat at least one good team and get that behind you so that you can just focus on, you know, the last two regular season games and everything they sort of mean, and then hopefully a playoff run here. So, yeah, this is a big game for both teams. But for Miami, I think it means more. And just how they spoke to the media this week, Mike McDaniel, when he said, guys, with all due respect to the media, I told my team to tell you to go F off if you bring up something they don't want to talk about. And then what Tua did on Wednesday, the whole, you know, I don't care what you guys say, but I keep receipts, the whole thing. It's like they hear it. It's under their skin clearly. And I think they're going to come out angry and use it as fuel to sort of kill that narrative. They can't beat a good team.
Well, I think they better come out angry because they came out angry last week. And look what happened.
Yeah.
And so if we can get angry Dolphins for the rest of the year, then that might be the pathway to getting us where we want to get. But we don't want to go too far. Let's take it one game at a time.
Just handle the Cowboys, and we'll move on to Baltimore.
Exactly.
Bill Belichick. Handle your team, they'll go out of Baltimore.
but I agree. I think they're going to come out angry. I think talking about messaging, I mentioned this on the show on Monday with Josh, that, you know, the post-game in the locker room speech was immediately Mike McDaniel already turning the page on that Jets game and saying, no Selly today. Yeah. It's not time to celebrate. Every single game is the most important game, and we have a lot of work to do. And I think that messaging, the fact that they came in ready, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know if the players came in ready. I don't know if the players get the message. I feel like this team gets it. And we'll only know by, and we'll play the results. And honestly, the results we may never really know the answer, but we'll play the results.
I agree too. And I also think they got good veteran leadership on this team. I think I've always said for years, the problem with the Dolphins was it was like a kindergarten class. They had no veterans. They had no real leadership. It was always youth, 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 especially with Gase. It was that way with Flores. This team, you need a healthy mix of veterans and youth. They got the youth with the Jalen Phillips and a Waddle, and even Tua to some extent. Austin Jackson still pretty. They got the youth. They didn't have veterans, or they didn't have good veterans. Like when Jesse Davis is your best veteran, you know, who's going to listen to him? No offense. But you got guys like Ramsey and Howard and Chubb. You got good veterans. Armstead, good veterans who can lead, not just with their words, but with their actions on the field. It's a healthy mix that every winning team needs. You can't win with just old guys. Can't win with just young guys. You need a healthy mix. They got the healthy mix. I think that helps too.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And let's not leave out Tyreek Hill and even a guy like Raheem Mostert, who's been tremendous this year.
Outstanding.
And, you know, has been really the steadying force in that backfield. So, you know, yeah, I agree. I echo that sentiment. They've got the youth. They also have the veteran leadership, and that makes it easier for the coach's message to get through, because the veterans will convey that message to the young guys. And it's not like the coach needs to, because it means more coming from players, and it means more coming from your best players. So like you said, so it's not coming from Jesse Davis, and everybody's like, yeah, why are you telling me what to do, Jesse Davis?
How about Wes Welker on Hard Knocks pointing out things Bill Belichick used to say? Bill Belichick used to say, Wes Welker dropping those in meetings too. I kind of like that. Dropping the Bill Belichick. You know, Bill Belichick told us. The real football starts in November. Belichick said.
I think it lands a little different, and it carries more weight when after you just lost to the only Bill Belichick disciple that's had any success in Mike Brady.
Exactly. Yep.
So let's get into the game a little bit. You know, we'll start with the Dolphins offense. You mentioned the injuries. You said it looks like Rob Hunt may not probably not playing. And then you said Austin Jackson. What's the latest on the injuries? Let's start there.
Here's the latest. And let me get my notes here. Okay, here's the latest. So Austin Jackson, Mike McDaniel said on Monday that he had to leave the game because he left in the first half of the game against the Jets. It's a quadriceps and it's an oblique injury. The oblique injury is what Jalen Phillips had at the start of the year that caused him to miss a few games. Mike McDaniel said it's not as serious as what Jalen Phillips had. He won't miss as much time. Well, all he misses is a half, Austin Jackson. So even if he misses a game, that's not as much time as Phillips. He didn't practice today as we are recording on Thursday. I'm sure he's going to be listed as questionable. We'll see how the week goes on. I would say I'd probably list him as doubtful, but there's a chance I guess he could play. Robert Hunt hasn't practiced, same hamstring. And if you watch Hard Knocks, he was limping around the field Hard Knocks. And people at the stadium said he was limping around, walking up and down the sideline versus the Jets. I think that hamstring is just – that might be more time needed there. Javon Holland, 2 sprained MCLs. That's a 4 to 6 week injury. We're at the 4 week spot now. I think he's practicing light, not doing heavy practice. So there's a chance for this week, but he still might be one week away. Elliott, the other safety, is still in concussion protocol. He's in the later stages of concussion protocol, but he's still in the protocol. So we got a few days to get him back. Who knows? Xavien Howard, he missed a game with a hip. He said today on social media, which take with a grain of salt because every player says they're going to play, he's going to play this week. I think he did practice today too. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I think there's a good chance you'll see Howard this week. Elliott, I think there's probably a fairly good chance. Holland's more iffy. Last one's Tyreek. Here's what we know on Tyreek. Dan Graziano of ESPN on Tuesday said he's hearing Tyreek's going to sit out one more game. Not sit out. He's going to need another week. Josh Moser from WSVN was on a DolphinsTalk.com podcast Tuesday night. That's another Miami Dolphins first down with Steven Daniels. Josh Moser was the guest. Josh Moser does show every Sunday with Drew Rosenhaus. Rosenhaus, Tyreek's agent, connect the dots, said Tyreek might have a grade 2 ankle sprain. That's a multi-week injury. He did practice some today, Tyreek, though. But there's chatter he might miss at least one more game because the Dolphins want him healthy for the playoffs. And as much as this game's important, if the Dolphins, you have the mindset, we're going to get in the playoffs, and maybe we're not the one seed. Maybe we don't even win the East. I got to have him healthy for the games that really matter. So, I don't know. He did practice today. That one's going to be up in the air. He probably won't know till Sunday, but he might miss another game. Or he could, I mean, I don't know when it comes to Tyreek. That one's truly out there. And Emmanuel Agba's also injured, so maybe see Melvin Ingram called up from the practice squad this week for this game there. It's a lot, I know. But that's kind of where we are at the time we are recording this on Thursday evening.
Yeah, I trust
Austin Jackson's the one I'm worried about.
Yeah, I think I'd be worried with Austin Jackson not practicing on a Thursday. The way, you know, you've got a healthy Teron Armstead right now, the way Kendall Lamb has played filling in for at left tackle, you probably feel confident we can get by without Austin Jackson for a game. Albeit, you know, Kendall Lamb, as well as he's played this year, I mean, he hasn't been a world beater or anything, but he's been solid stepping in for Teron Armstead all season. We haven't really seen him at right tackle. So I am interested to see how that would play out and how that impacts what the Dolphins want to do, as, you know, from a pass protection standpoint. And also from a running game standpoint, because we know that they want to go out and attack the edge and they like to get their athletic tackles out to the second level. And if you don't have Austin Jackson, who's probably the best at that, you know, it probably does take a little bit of that game plan away from you. And you're probably also going to bring, keep extra guys in to protect, especially if Tyreek doesn't play or is on a snap count. Because part of what allows Tua to get the ball out so quickly, if they're not just throwing screens, is having both Tyreek and Waddle on the field so that the defense respects that space and, you know, they're able to create so much space and still throw the ball downfield while Tua gets the ball out in like 2.3 seconds, which is, you know, they're the only team that has the capability of doing that. And, you know, a big reason for it is Tua, and a bigger reason for it is the speed of these wide receivers. So
one clarification. Yeah. Elliott today was a full participant at practice, meaning he'll probably come out of the protocol the next one or two days. So that's good news. I didn't know that. I just looked it up real quick to see. So Elliott was a full participant yesterday. He was limited, still in the protocol today, full, probably a sign he's ready to come out of the protocol. So we'll probably have him at one safety, which is help. But he's played very well this year for them, Elliott. So that's good news there.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll talk about that side of the ball. I think when the Dolphins are on the offensive side of the ball, look, I think they need to lean into what worked last week. And I think they need to take a look at what Dallas did last week against Buffalo in not being able to stop the run and not being able to tackle. And this is a Cowboys defense that is soft up the middle. They've had some injuries. They're very strong and explosive coming off the edge. Well, look, this is the second week in a row that you're playing a team that can be very difficult to handle on the edge and can really get after the quarterback. And what did they do last week without Tyreek Hill? Well, they ran the ball and they ran a lot of, and they threw a lot of screen passes. And at the end of the day, it worked. And so I think you got to do this. I think you have to have a very similar game plan. I think you can mix things up a little bit more against Dallas than what you did against the Jets, because the Jets' strength defensively is the interior of their defensive line. And so you're going to be less likely to to run up the middle on them, I think you can be a little bit more aggressive running up the middle on this Cowboys team and can be a little bit more diverse. So, you know, maybe you run, some plays to the edge and then you run the crack toss and you try to get the cutback. Maybe this is a Jeff Wilson game. Maybe this is a game where Jeff Wilson gets a few more carries because they are trying to probe to see how soft the underbelly of that Cowboys defense is. But ultimately, if this team's able to have some success running the football and Tua is just able to play a clean game, whether Tyreek Hill plays or not, what Tua's shown is he can move the sticks and they can get drives going. And then what this team has shown is that when they stay committed to running the football inside the 10-yard line, it's usually ending in pay dirt. So, you know, they might not have as many big plays with Tyreek not going if he doesn't go. And I hope he goes, and I tend to think he's going to go because I just think Tyreek wants it. I think Tyreek wanted to go last week but decided – I could use the extra week off to heal and we should be able to beat the Jets without me. But now we're into this stretch of the season where every game is huge and every game is a big game. Like, get the bye week in the first week of the playoffs. Then you get the rest. That's the time to rest. But I think now with these games, like, yeah, if you've got a serious injury and you're maybe a player that's like, you know, like an Austin Jackson where it's like, yeah, he's a key player, but you feel like the Dolphins can win without him because you've got guys that can replace him. Nobody's going to replace Tyreek Hill. And if Tyreek Hill is out there running routes the way he was last week pregame against the Jets, and then he's out there practicing this week, at the very least, I think you need him in the game on a snap count. I think Tyreek's going to want to go, and I think you got to let – if Tyreek wants to play, I think you let him play. And, I know that's the case because they were ready to do that this past week. So I get the feeling Tyreek's going to play. But whether or not he plays, obviously if he plays, there's a whole other dimension to the Dolphins' offense that he brings. Even if he's used as a decoy, the Cowboys are going to have to respect it. And it makes the Dolphins offense that much more dangerous. But even if he doesn't play, I think the Dolphins have enough with Jaylen Waddle, with Mike McDaniel scheming, you know, passes to him, Braxton Berrios stepping up into a little bit more of a role, Cedric Wilson stepping up into a little bit more of a role. And then most importantly, the running game, because at the end of the day, the Bills put up points against this Cowboys team and Josh Allen completed nine passes against them for less than 100 yards. So you can put up points on these guys and Tua doesn't have to have a monster game. He just has to have a clean game. And that's been the story the last few weeks. And hopefully that continues.
I agree. If he'll plays, he won't be 100%, but having him out there does change things. And you can use him as a little bit of a decoy there. I also think this is a game where Devon Achane's speed could be utilized very well. You know, since he's been back, obviously, he even had a toe injury heading in last week, so I don't even know if he was 100% last week. Hopefully he's more he's healthier now. And I think his speed here could be utilized, especially if there's no Hill. You're going to want to get the ball in his hands maybe a few more times. Last week versus the Jets, that game was over so early. They really didn't have to show anything. But the game plan Mike McDaniel called, I loved. He adjusted. He's like, you know what? I'm down to some offensive linemen. I have a center who's like far less than 100%. There's no Hill out there. Short passes, get the ball out quick. And then when it was ready for the shot, as we saw in Hard Knocks, he called his shot with Waddle, took the one deep pass, but it was mainly run the ball, short stuff, own the clock. The Jets aren't doing nothing. I don't have to show a lot. I don't have to take a lot of risks. And it worked. And this week versus the Cowboys, you might have to take a couple more risks because the Cowboys are going to put up some points in offense. They're not going to get shut out. They're going to be more of a threat to make this a game. But I think if I am Tua, if I am Mike McDaniel, I want a similar type of game plan. Quick passes, get it out. Be selective with the shots you take down the field. And Mostert had a very good day last week. And that's just because he scored twice. Because the yardage didn't mean nothing. But they were tough yards. They stuck with the run. They stuck with the run in the red zone. It just, not everything's flashy numbers. It's just being smart. And it was a perfectly called game last week. Those 30 points, and considering one drive started on the 1 yard line after a turnover, was just how he needed to call a game. And if they're going to be shorthanded again, I would call the same game plan. And if you fall behind, then adjust. And then you got to be more aggressive. Then you got to take more shots. I get it. But until you're behind at that point, this team is good enough to grind out wins. And that's essentially the game plan he called, was a grind out win last week. And I would just do the same thing again. It worked.
Yeah. And the way that you grind out wins, you do it more so with the defense than you do with the offense. And that's where it's on the defense to set the tone. Obviously, still got the injuries. I mean, look, Jalen Phillips isn't coming back. Jerome Baker's not coming back anytime soon. And it doesn't look like we're getting Javon Holland back this week. It looks like we're going to get Deshaun Elliott back, and that's big. There's still enough guys on this defense to control this game and set the tone. And the reason is because the strength of this defense is in two places. It's in the defensive line, and it's with those two cornerbacks and Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard. And I do think we're going to see Xavien Howard this week. I think Xavien Howard probably could have gone last week, and they said, well, look, if we have Jalen Ramsey shadow what's his face?
Wilson.
From Garrett Wilson from the Jets, then like we could probably make do with what we have against the Jets, you know, paltry receiving core. And so they got Xavien Howard that day off that he needed, that week off that he needed. But I think he's gonna play because you need him for this game against the Cowboys with Brandon Cooks and with CeeDee Lamb and company and Dak Prescott firmly entrenched into the MVP conversation, even though he had a terrible game last week. But it looks like, you know, every MVP candidate, it seems, other than Tyreek Hill, has had, you know, their game that's been less than impressive over the last few weeks. So we'll see what happens there as far as MVP voting, but that's besides the point. The Dolphins defense needs to set the tone, and they're going up, like you said, against a much better offense this week. They're not going to shut this team out.
No.
The Cowboys are going to make some plays. This is a big game for the Cowboys, and they all, believe me, they are going to be pissed after the way that they played against Buffalo. And I know I do agree with the sentiment that the Dolphins probably need this game more because of all the narratives and because they need to probably prove it to themselves that they can beat a good team. At least the Cowboys a couple of weeks ago won a home game against the Eagles where they looked dominant. But that said, the Cowboys are in a situation where they control their own destiny to win the division and have at the very least the number two seed in the NFC so that they don't have to play on the road. And they're 3-4 on the road this year. So they're probably feeling like they need this one. The Cowboys are going to come out with their strongest game plan. They're going to be ready. I fully expect we're going to see the best of Dak Prescott. That said, if the Dolphins are going to dominate in the trenches, then, you know, they're going to force Dak Prescott into some mistakes, just like they're going to force any quarterback into mistakes, especially with having Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard back. So I think it really starts up front. Zach Martin, it looks like, may not play in this game. He's an all-world guard. He's one of the best guards in the league. So now you immediately look at Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer, who have been playing at just a tremendous level the last couple of weeks, and you say, these guys should have a field day. And I look at that and I say, yeah, they definitely have a big matchup advantage there. And the way Bradley Chubb played if Bradley Chubb can play angry the rest of the season, I know he's not going to go up against the Jets offensive line every week, but if he could play like that and you get what you're getting out of Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer, I don't even care who's on the other end. It could be Van Ginkle. It could be JPP. It could be Melvin Ingram. You could throw Raekwon Davis out there. Whoever you want to throw out there, it doesn't
Channing
matter.
Channing Tindall.
Free Channing Tindall.
There we go.
Throw him on the line next to Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, and Bradley Chubb. And I guarantee you he makes some plays. Guaranteed. It's the Jason Taylor effect. It's like,
you know, when Jason Taylor was here, we always had some other, we always had some other defensive end that racked up a ton of sacks and was like half the player that Jason Taylor was. And they weren't bad players. Like
out
you had
Wale,
like
Ogunleye.
Yeah, you had the Nigerian Prince out of Wale Ogunleye.
Trace Armstrong.
You had Trace Armstrong. You had Kenny Mixon. I mean, you had Lorenzo Bromel. Like you got some guys that would put up some numbers just strictly because these guys that they're surrounded with were monsters because they were surrounded by Jason Taylor and Tim Bowens and Daryl Gardner. And that's what this defense is giving. And then you throw out, you know, in a way it's actually very similar because then you look at like, what else did that defense have that the Dolphins, that Dolphins defense? Well, you also had Sam Madison on the outside. Well, now you got Jalen Ramsey on the outside. You had Patrick Surtain. And well, now you have Xavien Howard on the outside. So it's actually very similar. You know, when you really think about it, but, I think that this defense is playing at a really high level at the right time, save the last 4 minutes of that Tennessee game. And they've been, even with the Tennessee game, they've been a top five defense since Jalen Ramsey joined the unit. So, I mean, they've been as good as anybody in the league. The one thing that people will poke holes in there is they'll say, well, look at the opponent. Well, this week, they get a chance to prove it. So I hope there's a lot of people out there saying, hey, this defense is good, but they haven't been good against a good offense.
Well, because they were good against the Chiefs. The Chiefs won, but they were good against the Chiefs because the Chiefs scored on a fumble return. And Travis Kelce had like one or two catches. And Pat Mahomes threw for like less than 200 yards. They were good against the Chiefs. They still win the game.
What I would say about the Chiefs is I would say that this Chiefs offense isn't like a great Chiefs offense. But this Dallas offense is absolutely one of the best offenses in the league. So we're going to see. And then look, the next 3 weeks, they're playing teams that are putting up a lot of points and putting up a lot of yards and a lot of points. So there's no hiding at this point. This defense is going to look. I think that a lot has been talked about with the Dolphins offense. And deservingly so. It got all the headlines at the beginning of the season. You got Tyreek Hill and Tua in the MVP conversation. Mike McDaniel, offensive head coach. Then you've had like when the team has struggled, it's been because the offense has sputtered. And so that's getting a lot of the attention. But in my eyes, this offense is good. We know that it's good. But this team will go as far as the defense takes them.
I
think that's what's going to determine how good this Dolphins team really is and whether or not they can actually get to the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be more about the defense because you're going to play other good defenses that are going to keep you from scoring 40 points. And so you're going to need to play good defense to win. And so I'm looking at this Dolphins defense and I'm saying, prove to me that you can be a dominant defense against a really good offense. Because if you can, then I'm going to start buying into what they're selling.
And here's the thing too, on that side of the ball, I don't know if they're going to, you know, win the East, be a wild card once. I don't know. But I'll take a safe bet that we're going to make the playoffs in some capacity. And when the playoffs hit, you're going to have a healthy Holland by then. Jerome should be back at linebacker. Aside from Jalen Phillips, it's going to be a healthy defensive unit, unless something happens in the next couple of games, obviously. It should be a relatively healthy defensive unit, and I have a lot of faith in Vic Fangio that they will be playing at a high level come playoff time with, you know, unless something else happens. Most of your key integral pieces there. On the offensive side, I have questions because I just have questions. But that side of the ball in defense, I have less questions. I have faith in Vic, and I think we're going to be pretty healthy by then. And even in this game, I think they're going to be fine. Now, if it were me, even if Howard plays, I would probably put Ramsey on CeeDee Lamb full time because I have a lot of faith in Ramsey, and I think that's probably Miami's best option there. But if they just will let Howard take Ramsey if he's on that side of the field or what, or take on Lamb, I'm fine, whatever. I'll leave that up to Vic, honestly. The one thing I'm a little worried about, Cowboys have a very good tight end. And I just mentioned that game with Kansas City, how Miami sort of shut down Travis Kelce. This guy's probably the next best tight end we're going to play all season. This kid's a real deal, Ferguson. So what's the game plan tight end, especially if Holland's not out there? that changes that. I hope they got something, because he's a guy who could hurt Miami in the middle of the field a little bit. I don't – the Dallas wide receivers outside of Lamb, they're good. They're not great. They're good, though. They'll present their challenges, but it's really a Ferguson kid that kind of scares me a little bit. And talking about the Cowboys defense, Aaron, you know, the Cowboys have Noah Igbinoghi on their roster, and I don't know how much he plays.
He doesn't.
But he doesn't. I know. Doesn't. But if they put him on the field, I don't care what the play call is. I don't care what was sent in. I hope Tua just ready to audible, have a word, Omaha, whatever, and just like, find Howard, find Noah, and throw it at him. I just hope that's a game plan that they put in this week.
Yeah. And no, I think you bring up a good point with Ferguson and the tight end and the matchups. Personally, I think this might be a game where you see a little bit more of the soft zone, because I don't worry about Jalen Ramsey in man coverage. But I worry about Xavien Howard in man coverage against speedy receivers. And, you know, whether they choose to have Jalen Ramsey follow CeeDee Lamb or not, whether it's CeeDee Lamb or Brandon Cooks, even Brandon Cooks, one thing the guy can do is he can run.
Yeah.
And speed gives Xavien Howard trouble. So I think you're going to be – I think it would be wise to not isolate – Xavien Howard, especially if you're going to be without Javon Holland to roll over the top. I think it might be a game where you probably try to play a little bit softer coverage and really try to just rush four, drop seven in coverage a lot. And, you know, the guy that's going to be big for that is a guy that's played really, really well since Jerome Baker went out, and that's Duke Riley. Whether it's been in run support, whether it's been in coverage, Duke Riley has played at a very, very high level and is making a really strong case for, you know, the end of the season, whether or not he would be a guy that the Dolphins might want to invest in as a value signing to keep around, considering the pending contract situation with Jerome Baker, where, you know, he may very well be a cap casualty. We're seeing that test right now of what this Dolphins defense could look like with Duke Riley instead of Jerome Baker. And frankly, he's passing with flying colors. So I'm excited to see more of that. And I think when it comes to the tight end, it's not so much Duke Riley as much as it is. I think that's where, if Javon Holland isn't playing, that's probably Brandon Jones' specialty. Because I think what you probably see more of is you probably keep Deshaun Elliott back, and maybe you even play Elijah Campbell back in more of the two safety look, or you start with Brandon Jones and Deshaun Elliott in, you play that soft coverage, basically like a cover three, where you drop Ramsey and Howard back, and then Deshaun Elliott has center field, and then you drop Brandon Jones in to keep an eye on that tight end. I think it's going to be an interesting chess match. Obviously, if you had Javon Holland in, you'd have a lot more flexibility with the things that you can do, and you'd feel a lot more comfortable back there against this Dallas passing attack. But I still think, even with all like the chess match of all the coverage, if the Dolphins win up front, which I expect them to do, then that's going to shrink the field for the Cowboys offense, and it's going to make them easier to defend. So, in all of the, you know, everything that happened with, you know, shuffling around the schedule, Josh not hosting the show, with his little one, you know, getting tended to, we never put out the Twitter, the X, the post, the tweet, whatever, for the fans out there to give us their hashtag one hot take for this game on Sunday. But if you are watching live in the stream, hit us up in the chat. Tell us, what is your hashtag one hot take for this game? While you're typing that in, Mike, I want you to give us your hashtag one hot take for this Dolphins game.
Here's my hashtag one hot take. I think the Dolphins defense, as we're just talking about, is going to have a very good day. And I think in particular, Ramsey's having an outstanding year. Teams aren't even really testing him. And when they do, those wide receivers are blanket coverages. And I think Prescott's going to test him this week a little bit. And my one hot take is Jalen Ramsey doesn't have one, but two interceptions versus Dak Prescott in the Cowboys.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Not a ton in the comments section here. Like I said, we didn't really put the call out until last second. But Bobby B says, hot take. Beating the Titans would have helped win the division, but losing will help us win the Super Bowl.
Let's hope.
Yeah, that's Mike McDaniel's messaging for sure. Kyle Gardner says, big run game. Jordan Murray says, hot take, we run for 300 yards combined. Wow.
Is Larry Zaka coming back?
how many points are we putting up if we get 300 yards rushing? We putting up 70 again if we put up 300 yards rushing? Kyle Hartfield says, Dak throws three interceptions. Travalis Tinker says, we get a pick six from a linebacker and we win by double digits. Wasim Al-Hadi says, we run the ball for 150 and we win. Douglas Potter, Miami rushes for 200 plus and gets three rushing touchdowns.
I think a lot of people watched Bills Cowboys last week and think we're going to run over the Cowboys like the Bills did. He's going to run up and down the field.
Well, I like Wasim Al-Hadi's take because he was like, I want to go hot, but I don't want to go scorching.
Crazy.
So I will say we'll win and we'll run for 150. We're not going to win by double digits. We're not going to run for 200, but we're going to run for 150 and we're going to win. I like it. I tend to agree. I think that we'll have a strong running game. But my hot take for this one is Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer combine for four sacks in this game.
Ooh,
that they wreak havoc on the Cowboys' backup guard, their backup interior offensive line, that the Dolphins' defensive line dominates this game. They're probably going to get five or six sacks, and I'm calling for two each from Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer, or any combination that gets to four out of those two guys. And then let's see. I think we got one last hot take here before we give our score predictions. Olivier Cajuste says defense drives Dak to the floor a few times. So yeah, he basically agrees.
What's Josh's one hot take?
Josh's one hot take. Thank you for reminding me. Should not really be a surprise to anybody. He says his hashtag one hot take is Alec and Gold receiving touchdown. And you know what
happened? It's going to happen.
I think this might be the week for it. Can I change my one hot take? I'm going to change my one hot take.
Double down.
Doubling down. I'm with Josh. Alec Ingold receiving touchdown this week.
Here's the deal. If Alec Ingold, since it's Christmas, I'm in a good mood. If he scores a receiving touchdown, and since everything his little guy right now is going through, I will buy his son an Alec Ingold jersey if he scores a receiving touchdown. This is like when the Seinfeld episode, Paul O'Neill. Why do you tell him I'm going to hit two home runs? I'm not even a home run hitter. If Alec Ingold scores a receiving touchdown, I will buy Josh's son an Alec Ingold jersey.
I love it.
Alec, all the pressure's on you now. I put all the pressure on Alec Ingold.
Clip it.
Clip it. It's going to Alec.
Clip.
He hasn't scored a touchdown all year. Why don't you tell him I'm going to score a touchdown?
In the words of Dorinda Medley, clip. Nobody watching got that. But no, my Housewives fans, all four of you, you probably love that. All right, score prediction time. I'll start with Josh's score prediction. Josh has the Dolphins winning this game by double digits by a score of 33-22. Mike, how do you see this game playing out?
I got it 27-20. I think it's going to be, you know, each team's going to get their points. I think Miami's going to get a few more. I think the Miami Dolphins are a little bit better on defense. I think the Dolphins will make a few big stops late. I don't know if Hill's going to play, and if he does play, how healthy. So I'm not going to say they're going to score 30 or more, because even last week they did score 30, but again, one drive started at the 1 yard line. I don't know. What's the odds of that happening twice? What's the odds of them even scoring another defensive touchdown like they have up until last week? Pretty much every week there for a stretch. I think 27-20 is going to be the score. Dolphins are going to kill this narrative that they can't beat a good team. You know, some people are still going to pull. Oh, it was just the Cowboys. Are they really good? Well, whatever. Those people, you're never going to shut up. But I think they'll kill the narrative that they can finally beat a good team. It's the first good team coming to their house. It was at Buffalo, at Philly, Kansas City, and Germany. It's the first one coming to their building. And as they now embark on this three-game stretch, they better win this one because the next two aren't going to be as easy. Not that this is easy, but I think this is the one to win. And unlike last year where Christmas Day they lost to the Packers, it's going to be a Merry Christmas for all Dolphins fans as I see Miami winning 27-20.
So will the Dolphins finally beat a good team? And if they do, will it matter? Because then everybody's going to say, well, you didn't really beat a good team because the Cowboys are for us.
Exactly.
I think this is the week. I've had this one circled even when they lost to the Chiefs, you know, before the bye week, and we had the midseason preview, and you said, do you think the Dolphins will win? Will beat a team with a winning record this season? And I said, I think they'll win the home game against the Cowboys. This was the one that I felt the most confident in, and I still feel the most confident. And obviously, you'd wish that we were a little bit healthier. The injuries are definitely a concern. But I think Miami has enough. I think their mind is in the right place. I think Mike McDaniel has gotten the ego out of his system with trying to worry about numbers and receiving yards and passing touchdowns, and has just gotten into, you know what, let's just score touchdowns when we get inside the five. And if that means we got to run it three times to do it, let's do it. And I think that fits this team really well as we come down the stretch. So I think the Dolphins do it with physicality. They do it with the running game. They do it with a dominant defensive line. I think that they control this game, but I think there's going to be ghosts coming down the stretch. And there's going to be, you know, and there's going to be a Dallas team that's desperate trying to come back and win this game. And I think things are going to get scary. But I think the defense is going to hold on. And the Miami Dolphins are going to hold on to a 27-24 victory at home against the Dallas Cowboys. And like you said, Mike, we're going to have ourselves a Merry Christmas this year.
Let's hope. After last year, that was brutal. I mean, the Packers weren't even any good. And I know it was all because Tua had he got the concussion, and we sort of fell off a cliff in the second half. Totally understandable now in hindsight. But we should never lost that game, honestly. And hopefully this year we take care of the Cowboys, because nobody likes to – let's be honest. Unless you're a Cowboys fan, Cowboys are like the Yankees or like Notre Dame. You have an opinion. You either love them or you hate them. And nobody likes the Cowboys. So we got to beat Dallas. Come on, it's Dallas. Screw them.
Let's beat Dallas, even if we have to get a fluky play like the Leon Lett play.
You know, since that play, we are 1-6 against them all time.
Yeah, since I think the play. Only other time that we've beaten them since then was that the Jay Fiedler career game on Thanksgiving, where Jay Fiedler 03. Was lighting them up to Chris Chambers.
2003. That's the only win we've had versus them since that Leon Lett game. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so I think the Dolphins are going to get it done. Are they? Is Romo the broadcaster?
No, this is Kevin Burke, Kevin Burkhart, and Greg Olson on Fox. And for those of you who didn't see
we're on Fox.
We had Kevin Burkhart on the show with us last night with myself and Ian. He made it. It was our Christmas spectacular holiday show. If you haven't watched. We had special appearances from Kevin Burkhart, Tom Pelissero, Frank the Tank. And yes, I booked the big guy during his busiest season of the year, Santa Claus. You want to know why we're up for a podcast award? Who booked Santa the week of Christmas? This guy does right here. I had him on our show. So check that out.
They certainly don't do it in Philadelphia.
No, they don't like Santa. They're mean.
Yeah. So for Mike and for Josh, our thoughts are with you and with your little one and the whole family and obviously my nephew. Get better, big guy. And Josh, don't worry, we'll hold down the fort for you, but hopefully you'll be back and we'll be celebrating with another podcast. I don't know, just a side note, programming, I don't know that we'll do a show on Monday, being that it's Christmas. That's going to be up to Josh and how he's feeling. We'll probably do, you know, what We'll probably do a show on Tuesday would be my guess, but just kind of stay tuned to Twitter to listen, because sometimes when we don't do the show on Monday, we say, yeah, just screw it. We'll just wait until Thursday to do the preview show for the following week. So just stay tuned to @SameOldDolphins on X or Twitter or whatever you're calling it these days to get updates on when our next episode is. You can follow myself @AaronTheBrain. You can follow Mike @DolphinsTalk. It's @DolphinsTalk, right?
Yeah.
I don't have the little
No, here's why. Josh is producing the show in the middle. He sent me a message about 10 minutes in. He goes, you know, there is a screen without the names underneath because mine had his name underneath. He goes, why don't you use that? I go, good point, Josh. Well, I went in there and switched it. You didn't notice until now. Josh is producing the show from behind the scenes.
This is why he drives the ship. This is why I'm in most weeks, in most episodes, I am simply a passenger. Because those things
you didn't even know.
I see it on there, but I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll deal with it.
Yeah,
like people exactly. at this point, people know that that's Mike and it's not Josh and whatever. They know where to follow him if they're watching. But anyway, that's why. So Josh, thanks for having our back there. We've got your back. You've got our back. It's a family, just like the Dolphins. It takes a family to win. It
stronger
takes a family.
Stronger together.
Stronger together. It takes a family to win podcast, your best team NFL podcast or best team sports podcast. So go vote for Mike. Tell the people where they can vote for the Dolphins Talk Daily podcast.
So I put the link up in this chat because we had so many ask earlier in the chat. Let me give my guy a shout out here. BB asked, hey, Mike, how can I vote for the show to win sports podcast of the year? So earlier this week, I was notified that we are, I changed the background. I was trying to get the graphic. I didn't mean to change the background. Never mind. I can't show it then. We were nominated by the Sports Podcast Awards for Best Team Podcast. And it's kind of prestigious, actually. So they nominated, I don't know how many podcasts it is, but we're up against a podcast for the Mets by the SNY channel. So it's like the SNY channel, like the official station of the Mets has a podcast. We're up against them. We're up against one from the White Sox. I think one from the Orioles, one from the New Jersey Devils. There's a sailing podcast if we're into sailing. I guess that counts as a team sport. I don't know. But we're up against, I don't know, 7-8 other podcasts that cover a team. And we are a finalist from the Sports Podcast Awards. And you can vote, I think, between now and December 28th. I have the link up on my Twitter feed. It's not an easy link. Just say, just go, blah, blah, blah. It's a little lengthy. So go to @DolphinsTalk. You can go there and vote. And I'll probably put something up on the website, too, there. And you can vote for us. And look, it's just an honor to be nominated for sure. But let's win it since we're nominated. Why not? I mean, come on. We might as well win this thing. So if you can cast a vote for us, it takes a second. It's free. You just got to put like your email address and click the vote button. We might win Best Team Podcast from the Sports Podcast Awards, which would be pretty cool because, as I always say, like we do this in our spare time. We put in a lot of work. We've been doing it for many years now. And we've grown a nice little following. We have a nice little community here. And it'd be really cool to win something like this. And we're up against some behemoths with, like, you know, million-dollar companies backing them. I'm not a million-dollar man. I'm not. But this is literally sweat equity, okay? So this is sweat equity that we've made it this far. And let's go with this is like the 1980 Olympics, USA versus Russia. We're USA. Let's go win it. So a vote for Dolphins Talk is a vote for America.
Did I catch a little Ted DiBiase laugh in there? That was good.
That was I just broke it out, which I shouldn't do because nobody's laughing now because I think his son just went to jail for life or something. So kind of a sad story. But we get the point. Vote for Dolphins Talk is a vote for America. So vote. Vote @DolphinsTalk on Twitter. I have the link. Put it up on my Facebook page. I'll put it up on our website. If you want to find the link, you can email me, dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. I'll send you the link, and you can vote for DolphinsTalk. Let's win. Let's represent the Dolphins. Let's win this bad boy.
Look, I couldn't say it any better. Let's win. So Let's for win. Mike, I'm Aaron. For Josh and the entire DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the entire Dolphins Talk family. Dolphins, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
No pressure, Alec Ingold, but you better score a touchdown for the kid. That's all I'm saying.